You open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 2. Those who were in Sunday School Hour in the auditorium this morning, I know you were blessed, as Brother Barry shared, once again, the truth about the shepherds and about the wise men this morning. And I know that it was a blessing to your heart as you were part of that Sunday School Hour. I encourage you to be back. And for our friends in the internet audience, I do want to tell you we are expanding our Sunday School ministry back to full force next Sunday, but we will still do a live broadcast of our Sunday School Hour for those of you who are at home, and hopefully everybody will get back in very soon. Before I read the text, I didn't mention it a while ago, I certainly want to say again, thank you. I did in the Sunday School Hour, but for all of you here, thank you so much for all the phone calls and for the texts and the messages that you sent, cards, and all your gift to me and my family. Has just been overwhelming and always a blessing. You're very kind. I appreciate all of you being here. I didn't look to see how many visitors we had, but we have family who are back this morning. Anthony and Laura Johnson are here this morning, Jim and Judy's son and daughter-in-law, and they've been very active, faithful members here for many years, and God used them mightily, and I thank the Lord for them, and Anthony and Colleen all the way from down in Florida are here. Mitchell and Sylvia's son and daughter-in-law and all their family are here today. And we've had family in. I know some of you have. But we're glad that all of you are here in the house of the Lord today. Thank you for coming. And I do want to share with you some thoughts this morning relating to the Christmas story and tonight as well. And so I hope you'll be back at 6 o'clock for the evening service tonight. But I want to begin reading this morning the book of Luke. And I'm not going to read the long, lengthy passage. We read this. We read it here on for our latest circle celebration of Christmas, and then I read it with our family on Christmas Eve night. But I do want to pick out just a little bit of it. You know the story. Mary and Joseph have traveled from Nazareth. They've come to the Bethlehem, to the city of David, because of a tax and a royal decree that everybody had to come pay taxes. And so they made basically it's a four-day journey is what we're told from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And they made that long journey, and she was full term. She was ready for the baby to be delivered and travel that long way. And while she was there, the baby was to be delivered. You remember the angels came and spoke to the shepherds and said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For in you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And they went and found, as the angel said, they found the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now, with all that said, look at chapter 2, just one verse here, and notice what it says. And when they'd seen it, that is the shepherds, when they'd seen it, the birth of Christ and Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things. 1, 2, 3. Number 18. Did we lose our system altogether? Can you hear me? Daryl, can you hear me in the back? You can't hear me in the back? 1, 2. Are we up yet? All right. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Ain't God good? Amen. I can hear me quite well. Are we good? Look at verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. There's one little word in there, like Barry always reminds us, look for the little words. Verse 18, and all. If you have a marker with you, or if you circle that, all. All that heard it wondered. It was a fascination to everybody that heard this amazing story of a virgin birth of the King of Kings and the Savior born in Bethlehem. Now go back, if you will, in Matthew chapter number 2. In Matthew chapter 2, I'm going to read just a brief passage of Scripture here as well. The account is it's the same account, more detailed and different things. But in chapter 2, I'll begin with verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And you know, we've studied and you're aware of the fact that the shepherds were there the night Jesus was born, and sometime later the shepherds come, and it could have been, we don't know exactly how long, but maybe as much as almost 2 years, because Herod will have all the babies killed from 2 years old and below because they couldn't find the Christ. And so somewhere in that time frame, maybe matter of months, maybe as much as 2 years before the wise men ever got there. But notice what it says, saying, where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And once again, I notice that little word, all. And if you circle that little word, all. So all that heard the shepherd's account wondered, and all that heard this report of this new king being born, all were troubled. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would minister thy hearts this morning, not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit. God, you've appointed this day and you've appointed this place. God, I'm thankful that you saved me and called me to preach. God, we are all here by divine appointment, even our friends who are in the internet media audience today. And Father, I pray, God, that you'd speak to our heart. Thank you for wonderful times we've had even through this whole month and even beyond that, but especially during this Christmas season with our church family, the wonderful services we've had, the caroling and all those who came and worked so hard with the ministry of the Highway Shepherd donated and came and gave their time and effort, not only to pack the bags, but for all the men who came early and prepared a wonderful meal for us. We thank you for the men's fellowship. Thank you for those, our Father, who took time to go on the highway to distribute the goodie bags that contain not only good things to eat, but the good news of the gospel in tracts and CDs. And I pray, God, that, Lord, it'll be a blessing, and God, somebody will come to know Christ because of the prayers and efforts of and the outreach of these individuals. And Father, I do pray now that God, the Holy Ghost, will breathe on me. And Father, I bow before you and confess there's no good thing in me. But God, I want to thank you for a wonderful Savior, absolutely perfect. Lord, I thank you for his birth, for his life, and for his death, and for his resurrection. Thank you for his watch, care, and ministry to us. Thank you, our Father, for your divine presence in the heart of every believer. And God, I pray, God, that you'd bless us, Father, as we love you and serve you and occupy till you come. Thank you for your promise of resurrection and for the rapture. And I pray, God, that you'd help us now. Lord, I pray, God, if there's a man or a woman, a boy or girl that's in this building or in the media audience that doesn't know Christ, I pray, God, they'd come to know him today, and that each one of us, our Father, would begin the end of this year and the beginning of a new year with a fresh commitment to love and serve you and to make you known to as many people as we possibly can. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In reading history, and I like to read history and stories, there's always the stories about people who missed something. They had opportunity. I was reading something one time about a gold miner in California, the Rush days. He got out there early, and he'd spent years working in what was supposed to be a good mine. And finally one day, in great frustration, he just threw his pick down, and he said, I give up. There's no gold to be had in this mountain. And as he went out, there was somebody fresh coming back from the east, and they wanted to start prospecting for gold. And he said, I'll sell you this for a dollar. And he gave just a small amount of money, and he sold him his claim there for a dollar. He got on his horse and donkey and left out, and the man walked in, picked up the same pickaxe he just dropped, swung it one time, and hit the largest vein of gold they found in California prior to that time and even since then. One strike, and that guy missed it. I mean, he just missed it. And I think about Thomas. The Lord said, he told him over and over again, those of you who read your Bible through with us this year, you've read the story over and over again about how that Thomas doubted, and he wasn't even there when the Lord appeared to the disciples. Jesus started telling him way early in his ministry that I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to bleed and die, but I'm going to rise again the third day. And of course they reacted, to that, and then they did exactly what he said. When they smote the shepherd, the sheep scattered. They didn't believe it, and Thomas wasn't even there when he came back for their first assembly of the disciples. Old Doubting Thomas, we call him. But he missed it. Oh, I'm glad the Lord appeared to him later and told him to put his thing inside and so on, all that. And I'm sure God used him in a mighty way after that. But he missed that one opportunity. And as I was thinking, and my good friend, Brother Roy Rigdon, who's probably watching this morning, he and I have talked and shared, and such a blessing. We were talking about this, and he shared some thoughts with me. Wouldn't it be a tragedy to have lived in Bethlehem and missed it. Just think about that. That only happened one time. One time for the virgin birth of our Lord, one time for the shepherds, one time for the announcement of the angels to the shepherds. One time, and they missed the birth of Christ. But if when you study the narrative of the Scriptures, you'll understand something. Not only would it be a tragedy, but there were so many that missed it and very, very few that were blessed by it. The shepherds, Mary and Joseph, perhaps maybe the innkeeper, but not very many at all ever came to see the birth of the Savior. Oh, they heard about it and they wondered about it and some were troubled about it, but they didn't respond to it. They had opportunity, but they missed their chance. Wouldn't it be an awful thing to live in a place where you could hear the gospel and know that Christ loved you and died for you and still to miss the gospel? As a sad verse in the Old Testament said, summer's past, harvest is ended, and we're not saved. In the book of Joel, it says that there's multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Many years ago, I read a sermon by Billy Graham where he emphasized that truth. There'll be many people who are right to that point of trusting Christ in the valley of decision, and they'll never do it, never take that step of faith. I think of that picture in my mind of our Lord. And I see Him through the Scriptures in certain situations. But one of the things that's most moving in my heart is when He was on top of a mountain looking over Jerusalem, and the Bible said for the second time in the Scriptures, He wept. He wept over the city of Jerusalem. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, how oft will I gather you that gathers a hen, gathers a chick, but you will not come to me. They missed it. But there were some who missed it in the birth. The innkeeper probably missed it. And sometimes when we think about him in the context, we think, well, you know, he just mean old man or whatever. I don't think that's it at all. They were busy. I mean, they were super busy. That all the world should be taxed, it says. And so they had come and they had flooded that little town of Bethlehem and other towns, but they had come to that appointed place to pay their taxes. And they were overwhelmed. Everything was full. Couldn't find a room anywhere. And I've been there. We were out in Wyoming some time ago, and I went out a few years ago to preach, and we took a few days afterwards. I didn't make any reservations. I never thought about the eclipse. And so rooms that are already high out around up near Yellowstone were ridiculously high. I mean, they'd gone up, some of them as much. They told me there were some rooms for $5,000 a night, and people bought them because they wanted to be, because the eclipse happened right through there, and it was at its peak or whatever. But, you know, think about this. Here's a man who is just super, super busy. No doubt he's a Jewish man, and so he has great respect for life and for birth, and he knows that children are heritages of the Lord. And I don't think he was unkind to them. I think he was just busy. I think he was just so busy with his business and with what was going on that he missed the birth of Christ. He was taking care of the other guest. And wouldn't it be a sad thing that because of busyness, the Bible talks about the sow of the seed that goes out and sow the seed. And it said seed falls on certain places. It falls on stony ground and falls by the wayside. And some falls among the thorns. And it begins to spring up, but then the thorns come in and it chokes them. And he said, that's a picture of the cares and the troubles in the world of this world. And people get so busy at Christmas time and so busy in their life that they don't trust Christ. I'm going to get around to it later. We know we need to get saved. We know we need to get right with God, but you're so busy. And this innkeeper missed this wonderful occurrence of the birth of Christ simply because he was so busy. I read to you an account of Herod the king. Herod the king was an appointed king by the Roman government to rule over that province, that area of Israel. And he was there as a puppet of the king. But yet he saw that as a place of authority. And Herod, historically, if you go to the Bible Institute, you'll learn some of that. But Herod was a wicked man. I mentioned to you a while ago that after Christ was born, when the wise men came and he said, called his counselor, said, "Where is he supposed to be born?" They said, "Bethlehem." He told the wise men where to go. So he understood something about Scripture, and he knew something about it, and he had general information. He knew that the king was coming. He was going to be born in Bethlehem. But the Bible says that I read to you that he was troubled by that news. He wasn't excited about it. He wasn't blessed by it. He was troubled by it. Why? Because he saw Christ as a threat. He was king. He was ruler. And he would not have anybody else to usurp authority over him. He wanted to be his own man, do his own thing, and he was not going to bow to any other king. And so he set out to do what he could to destroy him. Now, he to preserve his kingly rule, he'd already demonstrated how vicious he was. He had his sister killed. He had his brother-in-law killed. He had his two oldest sons killed because he's afraid. And historically, if you go out through the Old Testament, you'll find that quite often the king's sons are the ones who rebel against him. And he was going to cut that off. He had his own sons killed because he was so selfish and so desirous to have everything, to be his own man. He would not have anybody rule over him. That he killed his own children. Later, he even killed his younger son because of that. He killed so many people. In fact, when Herod was getting close to the end of his and death, he made a proclamation. He wanted several Jews arrested and to be slaughtered on the day of his death so they'd be weeping in Jerusalem because he knew nobody was going to weep when he died. But he wanted people crying. But he missed Christmas. He knew where he was going to be born, but his motive was wicked. He sent those men. He said, I want to come worship him. And that was his motive for him. He was in this place where he would not submit to the authority of the king of the Jews. And so many people are so set in mind that they want to do their own thing. They don't want Christ to rule over them. They don't want to yield to him. And various reasons, some people just don't want to live the right, the Christian life. Some of them believe that it would rob them of all their fun and all their activity. And little do they understand that God has a purpose. And to find real joy and to find real peace, the only way you can do that is to come to surrender to Christ and trust Him as your Savior and make Him Lord of your life, King of your life. And do like our Lord did. Our Lord said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And when you do that, you experience that wonderful grace of God and the blessing of God and His watch care and everything because He is your King. He is your Lord. He rules over you. And it's a wonderful rule. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." If He's Lord, you don't have to worry about anything. If He's Lord, He's going to take care of you. The Lord taught His disciples, you pray like this, "Our Father, which art in heaven." When you trust Him as Savior and you come to Him and He becomes your Father, He rules your life and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. He bought you body, soul, and spirit. You belong to Him. But He by His own will, has obligated Himself to meet every need you've got, to bless you and meet every need. But if you will not come to Him, if you will not recognize Him and yield to Him as Lord of your life, you'll miss Christmas. Herod missed Christmas because he wanted to retain his kingship. He wanted to do his own thing. He wanted to rule his own life. And in doing so, he didn't rule his life. He ruined his life and died a tragic death. My dear friend, if you'll trust Christ. But then there were some others. You remember what Herod did as soon as he heard the news about the wise men? He called together all the religious leaders and asked where he was to be born. And they didn't have to go research. They didn't have to Google it. They didn't have to go to their concordance. They knew it. They had it in their head. They knew all about it. They had it in their heart. They had been students of the Word of God. As leaders and priests, they had memorized the first five books of the Bible. They knew the Word of God, but they did not know the Word of God. They knew the Scriptures, but not the Savior. And they missed Christmas. When He said, "Where was He born?" They immediately, Bethlehem. And they quoted the Old Testament scripture in Micah. They knew the Bible. I had people tell me all the time, I know so-and-so, listen, preacher, they're good people and everything, and they know the Bible, but they're just not saved. Can I tell you, hell's going to be full of people who know the Bible. Did you know the Bible says of the devil, he believes and trembles, but he's not saved, because his belief has never brought into a place where he'd come to know the Lord. And of course, he's spirit. It's a different thing altogether. But the truth is this, you can know the scriptures and miss Christmas. You can know all about it. And it says that they told him where he was going to be born, but there's no account of any of them say, praise God, the king has been born. Let's go see him. Mm-mm. They were content in that. They were just completely indifferent to him. They had their religious ceremonies. They had all of their rituals, but they didn't know the Christ. And some of the hardest people in the world to reach are religious people, and particularly church people, because they are in their routine and they're in their ritual, and they have church but no Christ. They know the scriptures, but they don't know the Savior. And here's a group of people who knew all about it. They knew where he's going to be born. They knew something about even the timing of it, but they did not know him. And they missed Christmas. And in the city of Jerusalem, where Herod reigned, the Bible says, and all they'd heard it were troubled. So all the citizens of Jerusalem had heard about it, but there's no account that any citizen of Jerusalem took that little short travel down to Bethlehem. They knew there's a king down there, and they knew the birth has been coming. Here are these wise men who've come from the east, and they've come, and they knew it was going on, but they didn't even have enough curiosity to go down. Why? Because Jerusalem was the hub of the Jewish religion, and they had that. They had that religious superiority idea. That we are okay because we are the children of Abraham, and here we are in Jerusalem, and we're looking for the king and looking for the Messiah. We're not looking for a baby in a manger. They missed it because they were in a religious situation, living in that city, and they could care less about the Savior. The Roman government had proclaimed, and Caesar had proclaimed that they could all be taxed. And there were Romans all over that area, all the way from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, all the way back to Nazareth, the Roman domination, Romans everywhere. And they were aware of what was going on. But there's no account in the Bible that any Roman citizen came to visit and to see the baby. Why? Because they had no other king but Caesar. They were in this situation where they were under the rule and yielded to idol worship, even to worship Caesar as God. His word was final. They were in a situation where they would have no other king but Caesar. They were given to idolatry. Now, in the day we're living in, we may have idols, not like a man, like Caesar or whoever, but a lot of people miss the true meaning of the gospel message because they've already got a God. They've already got a God that they worship and love. It may be self, it may be sex, it may be materialism, it may be wisdom, but there's something that controls their life, and they're not willing to jeopardize anything because of that. They won't give up that lifestyle for Christ. Just to the north, about 4 days' journey, is the city of Nazareth. That's where Joseph and Mary were. That's where she were. That's where the announcement came. And so for those 9 months, other than the time she went to see Elizabeth, they knew Joseph. They knew Mary. And it's just common knowledge now that she's going to have a baby. But not one of those, the Bible doesn't record anything of any other person being with them or coming down or celebrating with them the birth of Christ, his hometown. Now, why is that? Well, there's a verse in the Bible that says something about Nazareth, there's something about its reputation. It had a reputation for being a wicked city, wicked village, a town. They always, the saying was, 1 John chapter 1, verse 46, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Christ is coming out of Nazareth. He was there, and they knew Mary and Joseph. They knew all of them. And when Jesus began his public ministry, they didn't recognize him as being Messiah. And they said, is it not this Joseph's son? In other words, they were so familiar with him. The Bible said he didn't do many miracles there. The Lord said the prophet's not without honor, same in his own country, in his own town. It was just familiar to them. And there are people who've grown up around religion. They've grown up around Christianity. They know all the words. Every Bible story is familiar with them. Every word's familiar with them. Everything is the same way. But they're so familiar with it, they don't ever respond to it. It's just part of their life. I've had people tell me, I say, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I've been a Christian all my life. You can't be a Christian all your life. Because the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the family, people around Nazareth were so familiar with him and were the circumstance there, they didn't respond to him. And you can get, somebody said in the Bible Belt, we're gospel hardened. People heard it. I don't think that's so, particularly now. There are a lot of people who've never even heard the gospel. But there may be people in the sound of my voice in this building or in the media audience, you've heard it all your life. And you believe the Bible and you believe that Christ came, that he died, and you're familiar and you could tell all the Bible stories and it's so familiar to you. But all those family relatives and all his friends and all the co-workers, and Joseph was a carpenter, no telling how many homes he'd been in and out of, or what he'd built for people that he interacted with, and they talked to him about the birth of the baby and everything, but they missed it because they were so familiar with it. It wasn't special to them. This idea of being born again has to be very personal. It's got to be something that comes to you and you trust Christ as your Savior, and it has to be real. I was talking on yesterday, Christmas Day, with Jim's dad. We were talking about the Jews and about their relationship to God in this age and everything. And of course, we both agreed that being born a Jew doesn't save you. And Nicodemus was a Jew. He knew all about he could quote the Bible and knew everything about it. But Jesus said, you must be born again. And you'd be raised in a Christian home. You could have been in this community for all of your life. You could have been associated with Benson Grove Baptist Church since you were a little boy, a little girl. And you go to Vacation Bible School and you went through Awanas and went through everything else. But if you've never had a personal relationship with Christ yourself and come to know the Lord, just because you're familiar and you know all the stories and know all the words and know how to say everything, that doesn't mean you're saved. You got to have an experience where you trust Christ as your personal Savior. You got to be born again. But the people in Nazareth missed Christmas. They missed the birth of Christ because they were so familiar with him and with that situation. No different today. There are people today who are so busy they don't trust Christ. There are people today who are so self-centered and so independent they don't want to bow to the Lordship of Christ. There are people like the people of Jerusalem who have their own thoughts about Christ and about religion, and they're not interested in the Christ of the Bible. There are those like the Romans who already have a God and they worship the God of materialism or whatever else, and God of success, and they're not interested in another God. There are people like those in Nazareth who are so familiar with it. And to me, of all of those, it's a great tragedy. But one of the greater tragedies is this, to have the gospel all around you and not to trust Christ. We often think about those in heathen lands and far lands and the fact they've never heard the gospel and what a sad thing it is. But what a more awful ending to be familiar with the gospel, have it all the way around you, never trust Christ, never be born again, not to know the Lord. Maybe even have joined a church, maybe even went through a physical baptism, but never had a regenerated heart, never trusted Christ, never been born again. And no real change in your life from that time on. Don't miss Christmas. Don't miss the meaning of all of this. Is born today in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The whole idea of Christmas and everything else is that you might come to know Him personally and have a relationship with Him and know that you're saved. All these folk missed it. They missed it. They had opportunity, but they didn't receive Christ. Will you receive Christ? Will you trust Him today? Do you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? If you don't, you need to trust Him today and make sure that you're saved. Would you bow your heads in prayer for just a few moments this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed in the building, I am so thankful for God's goodness to me and my family, and for me and for you and most of us these last few weeks, and particularly this past week, has been a very, very busy time. I'm thankful for those special times that we've had here at church and the caroling and other things, special time of reading the Bible story with my family. But most everybody I've mentioned to this morning, did you have a good Christmas? Yes. Most of them are tired. Our busyness. But down deep in our heart, we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Oh, what a great tragedy to have it all around you, see it in every face, hear it in every song, hear it in every verse of the Bible. You must be born again. Jesus died for you. He came unto His own received Him not, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. There's got to be a time in your life that you trust Christ. Don't be too busy. Don't get your life so busy you forget the main thing, that is to be born again. Don't get so indifferent that it's not important to you. Trust Him. You may know all the words. You may be a faithful attender to the services or to any of the other ministries. But you know way down deep in your heart, you've never, ever trusted Him as your Savior. Don't miss it. For those in this very unique experience of the virgin birth of our Lord in a little manger in a place in Bethlehem, there was only one little time frame in all of history that they could have been a part of that, and they chose not to. I'm not sure how much time you have, how many opportunities you'll have, but He did say, my spirit will not always strive with man in that he's flesh. I believe there's a time that you need to trust Christ. Maybe today's today. In all these years of ministry, I've had several people tell me in that service that morning or that night or in revival, it was just like the Lord said to me, this is your last chance right now. Don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss it. Don't miss, as these people miss Christmas, for various reasons, don't miss trusting Christ as your Savior. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, I want to thank You that God, in Your wonderful, divine, sovereign providence, that God, You allowed us to hear the gospel, convicted us of the Holy Spirit of God, of our sin, righteousness, and judgment, pointed us to a Savior who paid all of our sin debt, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. He's alive forevermore. And God, thank You for the grace to believe and to receive Him as our Savior. And God, You're no respecter of persons, and what You've done for one, You'll do for another. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, I pray this morning that God, somebody in the media audience or somebody in this building will make that step of faith to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them not to miss that wonderful opportunity of having Christ birth them and being born again into the kingdom of God. And I'll thank You. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, for those of you who know Christ, you've been saved, I know you've enjoyed this Christmas time with your family and everything else. But right now, I'd like you to do something. If you know you're saved, and I'm sure you have in the last few days, but would you raise either one hand or both hands toward heaven and say, Lord, in your heart or out loud, Lord, I thank you for Christmas. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that by your grace and mercy, I didn't miss it. Lord, I'm thankful there was a day that I felt the wound of the Holy Spirit of God, that you dealt with my heart, and God, I trusted you as Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me and giving me everlasting life. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to help all of us to love him and serve him more faithfully. Thank you, and you may put your hands down. If you're here this morning, you said, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I do not know I'd go to heaven. You may have been involved in religion all your life. You're familiar with all the terms, but you've not responded in a real way to be born again. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but I want to pray for you. And if you're here today and you say, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. And would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand right up? I'm looking across the congregation, right up, right back down. Amen. I want to be saved. I want to know Christ. I want to trust him as my Savior. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. This might be your chance. I'm just telling you, he said if you'll call on him, he'll answer you. You ask him to come in your heart, forgive your sin. If you'll do that, he'll save you. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for all our friends who raised their hand in testimony that they know you. And God, for the friends who raised their hand they don't know, but they want to know. Lord, I'm praying for the Holy Ghost of God to do something that's real and genuine and drawn by your grace. Help people to take a step of faith and step out and come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord this morning.